Bum, 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 bum. Now tell me what you gonna do, but it ain't nowhere to run.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two of the big show on a way back Wednesday. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel all in studio. Barry had hour number one. If you missed it, the lists are up on ESPN975.com, I believe, and also on the Twitter for the station.
How do you not play the one part of the song that everybody knows?
I already know where you're going.
What?
That part that you did in your car.
Yeah. No, that's the only part everybody knows.
Everybody
and
remembers
everybody,
that.
I mean white people. Like,
false. Because most white people just go, boom, 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 boom. And that's it. That's
yeah,
all they
true.
Do.
But like when it comes to the lyrics, you see so many people that are like, I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all. And that's it. That's all they know. And that's my favorite part of the whole song. That's like hands down the best part of the song. And I want to buy a shirt that just says, I miss my Uncle Charles. I might make one. Whatever. I might
that
just make
sell.
One.
I can see that would sell.
I might make a shirt that just says, I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all. Do you think people would get it?
I think some people would.
Right? Would.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's kind of the point.
Because right?
some that would tip off others and go, man, you got to get this because you know how many people, and just like you said.
Hold on.
Yeah, man, I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all.
Okay, go ahead.
<That's> it. Got it covered.
Boom. Now we got our lyrics out of the way. By the way, somebody texted and said, what is the podcast called? It's called The 15.
Mm-hmm.
T-H-E, the number 15. The 15. So, yeah, if you're going to rate it or whatever, I appreciate it. And then they did say this, and you see this a lot, but people always say, there's always one dumbass who rates it one star and says, if I could rate it at zero, I would. Yeah, okay.
It's pretty much our text line.
They exist, for sure.
That's our text line.
Yeah, exactly.
That one texter that's upset. Yeah?
In the first interview that I did on it with Judson Lapley, the guy that did the Evolution of Dance, he was talking about that because I was like, you have a 1.5 million likes on your video, but you also almost have 100,000 yeah. dislikes. And he said, yeah. He's like, it's amazing that there are people out there that think, not only do I not like this, but I have to let everyone else know that I don't like it by hitting thumbs down on it and then maybe leaving a mean comment at the bottom. It's like it's that important that you let people know you don't like it, which I thought was pretty...
It's spot on because here's the thing. Just like we say when we get an angry texter who somehow texts every day.
Right.
Well, you have a choice to make, bro, and you're still choosing to listen every single day.
It's like the guy that called the Blitz and was like, y'all don't talk about nothing. Marvel Comics and the Unusual Suspects talks about fashion. And AJ was like, bro, change the channel.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I will. He goes, no, you won't. That's the thing about guys like you is you'll always listen. You always listen. He's like, you're a sheep. You kept calling this dude a sheep. It was pretty funny.
You think about it. If you walk down the street and you knew the certain corner intersection that you walked on and a guy came out of the bushes and kicked you in the nuts and walked away, would you walk down that street the next day and the next day? No, you wouldn't. So again.
Unless you like getting kicked in the nuts and then you might do it.
I guess. So Jerry's got something to do if he finds the right intersection. But other than that.
Joel starting off strong. His list hands down today. Shut up, whoever texted
Thank you
that.
Very much. Yeah. Keep that up.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with the podcast. You're listening. You're listening to the whole thing, and then you decide to do that.
Right.
But you're coming back for the next one. I guarantee it.
I hope.
That's exactly right. God, that's all you care about. Just keep listening.
Exactly. Hey, yesterday we brought up Kenneth Faried being a Rocket, and mm-hmm. I wanted you to have an opportunity because I'm sure you have thoughts on it. But we, Nick and I and Cody talked a little bit about it, and I like the fact that it gives them, it's like a poor man's Montrezl Harrell or Clint Capella, in that it opens up the pick and roll, high pick and roll that we talked about might be missed with Capella out. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's an interesting comparison because it used to be that Montrezl Harrell was a poor man's Kenneth Faried.
Uh-huh, and now it's flipped, right?
Yeah, because now Montrezl Harrell has shown he can put the ball in the basket.
Yeah.
But they needed somebody. And I wrote the article for Sports Map, and I tried to give people the heads up about a month ago. This is one of those crazy years with the way they're cap-strapped and otherwise that the only way that they're going to make a difference and get difference makers on this team is via buyouts and off-the-street guys that have been released. And they've done a great job of that. House was a great pickup, and I still hope they find a way to get him signed for the rest of the season. But Rivers has been outstanding. And with... as you mentioned, with Capella being out, they needed somebody, and he's still undersized. And in a lot of cases, he's going to get used, right? Like the other night against Embiid. But the bottom line was, you still saw it. He's got something in the tank. He's all over the rebounds. He's springy, and he plays their style of play where he gets up and down the floor. He even took a three, which I was like, oh, God, no. But it was close.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, you know what? I give him credit because I think at least short term, he's a good fit for them while Capella's out. But there are guys out there that are still going to come available that it's going to be real interesting to see how hard he pursues them. Because initially, people asked me about Mark Gasol and Mike Conley, and I'm like, do you know what their contracts are?
Yeah, you don't want Mike Conley's contract.
No,
for sure.
That's 31 plus million a year.
That's when the salary cap initially went up.
First year, and he cashed
68 is what he's due?
Do you all realize he's never been an all-star, and he's getting 31 plus mil a year?
Yeah.
I will tell you this. They loved Mark Gasol for a long time. But
rightfully
that was before, yeah, but that was before Mark Gasol kind of took a big step back.
Right.
Because he was considered one of the best, if not the best, center in the NBA for like a brief
doubt.
For a second there.
And offensively, he was dynamite. So, yeah, I mean, I think, look, Dallas, they're going with the youth movement. There's been rumors, Wes Matthews Jr. Daryl came out on Nick Wright's show on Fox, too, and he was talking about what they need. And if they're looking for a wing, Dallas has got Harrison Barnes and Wes Matthews Jr. They may look to move, and or someone might just buy them out. Those guys would be nice fits
right.
to help.
Oh, Harrison Barnes, boy.
And he can shoot, right?
Yeah.
Both of them can shoot.
He's got experience with the Warriors, and he understands the mentality in the playoffs, and he can shoot, and he'll D up. I really like that thing.
And here's the other thing. Wes Matthews is one of those guys that's always been in James Harden's side.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to worry about him like P.J. Tucker, who used to get up in his face and want to talk right. mess and buy. Get another guy off that list and add a guy to your team that can help.
Now, if you had to choose, which one you taking, Barnes or Matthews?
I think Wes Matthews Jr.
You, Nick?
That's really tough, but I'd probably go with Wes Matthews as
really?
Well. I mean, what are you going to get out of Barnes? It's a specific
you
fit,
get a guy
I feel
that,
like.
You get a guy that replaces either Luke Mbamute or Trevor Ariza from the standpoint that he'll play some defense. Mm-hmm. He can knock down a three. What?
See, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think he's a good defender?
I don't think Barnes is the type of defender Matthews Jr. is.
Yeah.
But I think either
he's
one.
He's a better shooter than Matthews.
I'll tell you what, you add them both and you get both. You get Ariza Luke back.
Yeah.
That's not bad. No question about it. I don't know if we got this, Nick. You guys can pick it, but Maury was on with Nick Wright, as I mentioned, on Fox this morning, and one of the first things he talked about was about the trade deadline and what they're looking for and the need for a wing player.
Yeah, we're going to be real active. We know that we're in Harden's prime right now, Chris Paul's prime, Clint Capella's prime. You can't waste that. You get very few opportunities in this league at this time. So we're rare, and our team has all their first-round picks going forward. Most teams in this phase where, you know, we almost won the title last year doesn't have their future assets. So we're comfortable using those to improve the team now. I would say, you know, at the wing spot is probably one that if we were to shore something up, that makes more sense. We feel very good about Clint and Fareed now. We feel good about, you know, Chris and James and Austin Rivers at the guard spot. The wing spot is solid, but we could maybe upgrade it.
So they're looking at wings.
I feel like I know that was the double-edged joke there.
Side of fries?
Yeah. First of all, mm-hmm. let's address the whole upfront statement of the fact that I will agree James Harden is in his prime. I will agree Clint Capella is in his prime. Chris Paul's not in his prime.
No.
So I realized that he was being nice by including him, but let's be real. That, first of all, that was a false statement.
Nick made it very clear he had been in Houston. He and Daryl were buddies, so he wasn't going to be the hard-pressed question. Because the hard-pressed question coming out of that one is, and we'll get to the one where, because he at least asked about Mbamute and Ariza, but the other one I would ask is, so why did you give Chris Paul 4 years and 40-plus million a year? Don't you feel that's going to hurt you later on? It's hurting you now.
Yeah.
That would have been one that would have been interesting if they would have been able to squeeze that one out. But he did talk about his feelings of losing both Ariza and Mbamute and the impact that it's had on this team.
Yeah, I think it was outsized. I mean, you know, Luke, for example, is just coming back to play, for example. We were a very good team last year, so I think it's natural for people to say, oh, look, just bring that team back. But generally, historically, that's not how things work. You make little changes. Even the Warriors have added a significant player. We like to mix things up, add new players. each season is different. And again, we feel like, you know, with Austin Rivers, Fareed, maybe one acquisition, and then the young players have developed this year, we're going to be stronger going into the playoffs.
Your take? He likes to tinker.
Yeah, he likes to tinker, and I think he kind of glossed over the missteps. But
I think it was better earlier in the season when he said, "That's on me."
Right.
I think that would have been the best answer.
Yep, I would agree.
So, and he also went on, and if you want to catch it, you can catch it on YouTube. But he also talked about the Carmelo experiment. But at least on that one, he did say, "It's on me."
Thank God.
Which I wanted him
totally
to say.
Totally is on him.
Yes. Because he was enamored with a guy that 7 years ago when he first started the pursuit was an all-star and a top 10 player in the league, maybe top five.
Right. That's when you should be enamored with the guy.
Right.
Not when he is just a role, you know, player who, with diminished minutes and skills.
Right.
And he's notorious for doing that. He did it with Dwight Howard. He's done it with Carmelo Anthony.
For sure, yeah.
So, yeah. Hopefully he learned his lesson.
Yeah, we'll see. But they got moves to make. We'll see if they can make them as we go forward. They play the Knicks tonight in the Garden, staying on the East Coast, trying to get off the schneid after that thumping from the Sixers the other night. So we'll see how they do. You know Harden's going to show out in the Big Apple.
Oh, yeah.
So that should be fun to watch. Early start time, 6:30. So catch that on AT&T Sportsnet. How about that?
Word.
All right, we'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects. It is ESPN 97.5. Baby, I love the way you're flown. It's time to give it to Daddy
Sugar. Now tell me how you want it. ESPN 97.5. California. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, hour number 2, 3-hour show. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride, and we always like to appreciate you guys the way you appreciate us. Therefore, we'd like to give back. So, we're going to take this opportunity right now to do exactly that. Golden Boy Boxing presenting the WBO Junior Middleweight World Championship right here in Houston, Texas, right at the Toyota Center. It is going to be a fantastic fight. It is featuring Mexico's undefeated Jaime Munguia, and as he takes on Takeshi Inouye. And I'm telling you, Munguia is defending his coveted world title, and it's going to be a big-time fight. And it's thanks to Oscar De La Hoya. AJ had a great interview with him. If you missed it, go back and check that out. But he was in town to promote this fight. It's going to be a big deal. It's this Saturday. It's at Toyota Center. Tickets as low as just $25. So if you don't win them, they're pretty inexpensive to go get them and be a part of the crowd at Toyota Center. You can go to toyotacenter.com and get your tickets. But we're going to give you away 2 tickets right now to that big boxing match this Saturday. Call number 12, 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. You get 2 tickets to the boxing match this weekend. Good luck.
Go get it. Good job on those names.
Thank you. I tried.
Yeah.
There was an interview of Oscar De La Hoya in studio here with AJ.
Yeah.
I think promoting that fight, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. I just said, go back and listen to it because it was good.
What are they hiding in there? I noticed they closed the blinds. Are they making sweet love to each other? What's going on?
There's nobody in there.
Oh, there's not? No. I figured maybe they were.
That's also Tyler's bedroom, so he sleeps there.
Right.
So it's quite possible.
Somebody suggested that Morey lost a little credibility by suggesting that Chris Paul was in his prime. And then somebody had to question, would you trade CP3 for Conley?
No, I would not.
Why?
Would I do that, it just wouldn't happen. Like, I mean, neither side is doing that, I don't believe.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
If they pick up that $35 million contract for Chris Paul.
But if you're trading Conley and Gasol, you're getting younger. They said as much. We need to get younger. Mm-hmm. We're looking for things that when you trade a veteran, you get back, which is picks, which is freeing up salary. It's younger players. Yeah, or younger stars that are getting ready to reach their prime. So you're not doing that with a CP3. CP3, if he gets traded, if he goes anywhere, it's to a contender that needs a point guard. Point guard got hurt.
And if he goes anywhere, he goes to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Or the Clippers again, but I don't see that happening. I see him in LeBron, but I don't think he's going anywhere because no one wants that contract. But yeah, Memphis loves Jaren Jackson Jr. And again, they drafted him very highly in the lottery this year, and that's who they're going to build around. So they just want pieces, and as Daryl would say, or doesn't like to say, but everybody says about him, assets. They want younger assets because they're rebuilding. So JB Bickerstaff is their young, inexpensive coach. That's going to try and mold some really young players. And Conley and Gasol don't fit that mold.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's going to be challenging for Daryl to find pieces that are going to help this team any more than just getting healthy.
Yeah. You feel like they've got to have a really good offseason. Because let's be real. They're not winning a championship this year. It's not going to happen. I don't know if you've seen the starting five for the Golden State Warriors. But when you look at it, you go, that's not fair. But they're not getting out of the West. They're not winning a championship. But that doesn't mean if they don't have a really good offseason that they can't next year. It just means they've got to figure it out. And Daryl Morey has to do a better job than he did this past offseason.
Yeah, it's going to be about how can you get the complementary pieces at the right price. Because they're cap-strapped because of that Paul deal and because of Harden's deal. Those two deals alone, and then even Capella's is pretty big, but those two deals alone consume a majority of their salary cap.
Yep.
So that's going to be really tough to do.
Did you want to add anything else? Because we talked a little bit about it yesterday before the vote came out. Mm-hmm. Did you see the Hall of Fame voting?
I did.
Thoughts? So if you don't know, Mariano Rivera, Edgar Martinez, Roy Halladay, and Mike Mussina all voted into the Hall of Fame. And then they went in along with, who were the two picks from the Veterans Committee?
It was Jack Morris.
Wasn't it? Harold Baines and Lee Smith.
Oh, Jack Morris was already.
Yeah, Harold Baines and Lee Smith were the other two Jack that Morris were voted year. In on the
right, okay. committee. Oh, that's right, because Harold Baines got a lot of hate.
Right. So you got basically two DHs going in this year.
Mm-hmm.
So thoughts on the selections?
Initially, my first thought when I heard the vote was, obviously the voters have a bias against anybody with any kind of connection to steroids. And that it really hurts Bonds and Clemens. And then the thing that shocked me the most was Mariano Rivera being the first ever 100% unanimous pick. Because in my mind, he's still a relief pitcher. And in my mind, the ultimate, never could go wrong, never going to bite you in the butt because the steroids allegations came out later. Ken Griffey Jr. to me was the ultimate and should have been the poster boy for a 100% in. Some guy decided to be snarky and screw him with one vote.
Right.
Was it last year or the year before? But that was my pick, but good for Mariano Rivera.
I have no problem with Rivera. I think he was a first ballot Hall of Famer. He was on my list of guys that should have been in that we emailed to Fred. What surprises me is that I'm looking at the results, right? So you see Rivera got 100%, Halladay 85, Edgar Martinez 85. I wouldn't have put Martinez in, but okay.
I can see your point as well.
Mussina 76%. I always thought Mussina was good, but was he the most dominant of his era?
Agreed.
He was, if you were doing it in like scales of 1 to 5, right? Mm-hmm. Mussina was a 4, a steady, consistent 4. But is 4 Hall of Fame?
Well, because they mentioned he finished in the top 3 for Cy Young voting like 6 times.
Never
but
won
did he
one.
Win it?
No.
So if he didn't win it, then close but no cigar, right?
Right. He was a, like every year when fantasy baseball would happen, I was like, you know what? I can steal Mussina in the third round, and that could be a good. Like, he was one of those guys. You weren't like, oh, I gotta go get Randy Johnson with my first pick in the first round. This was a guy that was steady, but I just don't feel like he was, the best. I mean, how he's in over Roger Clemens doesn't make any sense to me. But hey, whatever. I get it. It's because of the steroid thing. What really surprises me about this list, as I look down all of the voting. Mm-hmm. Fred McGriff got 169 votes. Manny Ramirez got 97.
God, that was one that Fred even had. I mean, we had him, all of us had him high on the list of
that
being considered.
That is a crime. I'm not suggesting that Manny Ramirez is a first ballot Hall of Famer, but as far as being a feared hitter in his era, he could hit for power and average. And I made the point yesterday, two guys on this list had a higher batting average than him. He tied for Edgar Martinez for the .312 average. The two guys on the list both hit out of Coors Field. Larry Walker, Todd Helton.
And here's the thing. That goes to my point of the people with the ballots in their hands have a stigma, and they are not going to get off of it. They are not going to put anybody in the steroid era in.
But Manny was never really accused
of
steroids.
No, he got picked twice, and he got suspended for it late in his career.
Oh, but early on when he put up all the numbers, he was. Cody made the point he was fat at some point, and he was.
Yeah, but he was quirky too, right? So everybody, yeah. Manny being Manny, and that was just a thing that was accepted. But you're right. When he played the game, he might not have been the best defensive player, but he wasn't on the field to play defense. He was on the field to do exactly what he did. He hit for average. He hit for power. But that goes to the other two guys in my mind. When you look at and A-Rod was on this morning, and A-Rod, of course, was supporting both Clemens and Bonds because A-Rod's going to be in that list. And I thought he was going to run from it, And he said, I hope they get in so I can get in. He goes, because I pray every day I get in because I know I screwed up and I know what I did was wrong.
When you look at guys like A-Rod, like Bonds, like Roger Clemens, and even Manny Ramirez, because I forgot he got popped. When you look at those guys, they were headed to the Hall of Fame before the controversy ever came up. Bonds was a five-tool player. Roger Clemens was pitching no-hitters and striking people out and the most feared man in baseball on the mound for a long time. He was Nolan Ryan. Comparisons to Nolan Ryan before steroids was ever even considered to be an issue for him.
But, which I didn't realize, the argument is when he really started to show signs of steroids was when he first got to Toronto. When he had gotten to Toronto the year before, he had a losing record, he had lost something on his fastball, and he had three Cy Youngs. So those three Cy Youngs would have gone in your favor, right?
Yeah.
But for longevity over a career, there were some people that were questioning whether that was enough from a longevity standpoint to say you got into the Hall of Fame. But to the other two, A-Rod, and you think about the reason why the Rangers gave him the first big deal, and then the Yankees did what they did, A-Rod, before he even took a steroid, was in. And Bonds, to me, is right neck and neck with Ken Griffey Jr. If Ken Griffey Jr. wasn't the first unanimous selection, then if Barry Bonds never does steroids, he would have been.
But here's the thing, like with Clemens, because I get what you're saying about him going to, okay, that's fine. Rookie of the year, three Cy Youngs, runner up for a Cy Young. And when you look at dominance, like when you ERA leader, four of the years in Boston, how many times did he strikeout leader twice? And so it's like it's like we talked about with Mussina, right? Like Mussina, if you looked at his career, He's not putting up numbers like that.
But
yeah. He's not putting up numbers like that. And that was all before when, you know, the allegations started coming up. I'm looking at Mussina's stats. You know how many times he led the league in ERA as a starter? None.
Really?
None. He led twice in games started, once in wins, and an innings pitched. That's literally his big calling card. Once.
Look, and I always have been one of the biggest Roger Clemens fans when I was growing up, and I wore 21 for the reason. And
nice.
And I always followed him, and I really believe that he would have gotten in.
Yep.
Because he was a competitor. And you talk about a frontline guy that was feared as your number one, your ace. Mussina wasn't that guy. Clemens always was that guy.
Uh-huh.
He's won the Triple Crown twice in a season for a pitcher, which is wins, ERA, and strikeouts in the same season. That, to me, I think all three. And A-Rod, as much as you want to take away from him, he still, from the time he was the youngest player to break so many records and making all the things he did, all three of those guys, I believe, should be in.
Yep. I'm with you. And if you look at Bonds, same argument. He was MVP twice in Pittsburgh before he ever went to the Giants.
And could do it all. And you know what people said? And I totally believe this. He got ticked off that he wasn't getting enough credit for being a five-tool and he wasn't hitting enough home runs. And that's why he did
what he did.
So that he got more accolades, more pub. And someone made the great point. He was always one of the best hitters in baseball. He became the most feared hitter in the history of the game because he had so much raw talent that when you put that extra oomph on his bat and bat speed and all that, he just elevated at a higher level than anybody's ever played the game.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's the Hall of Fame discussion. It's going to continue to go on, but it was interesting yesterday. But for the most part, I think we agree. Because I agree with you. I don't know that Mussina should have gotten in.
Yeah, my four was Bonds, Clemens, Ramirez, and Rivera. That's who I would have voted in.
Edgar, I think, was going to get in. But you know what? Here's what I think was going to happen. These guys now have 3 years left, I believe, Bonds and Clemens. They're going to crap the bed for the next two. And there's going to be one last dash, major push that final year. And I think they're going to get in.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Maybe a lot of those writers that have biases are going to die.
I think that's what it's going to take.
It might be. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Excuse me, we're at the midway point of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's a Way Back Wednesday. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5. Rolling with the fatness. You don't even know what the half is. You've got to pay to play. Just for shorty bang bang to look your way.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
At
as I walk through the valley of the sun.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. Plenty of time for you to participate in the show. 713-780-3776. That'll get in via text message or phone call. And, of course, you can always reach us via Twitter, where it's at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and, of course, at Barry is funny. We've run the gamut a little bit. We've covered some hoop, some baseball, lots of fun in the first hour. Hopefully you guys taking us along for the ride have had a little fun and entertainment in your life today because of that.
Coolio, Gangster's Paradise. Michelle Pfeiffer was so hot in this movie.
No doubt.
Man, she was hot. I don't know what she looks like now.
Oh, not good.
Really? Yeah, I haven't seen her.
You're going to be grossly disappointed.
Kind of
like
from?
Kelly. Gangster's Paradise. Yeah, the movie.
I know the movie was called Gangster's Paradise.
No, it was oh shoot! Now I had it, and now I lost it.
Dangerous Minds.
Dangerous Minds.
I forgot it too.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh, it's a great movie. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Really?
You know who else is going to disappoint you like that too? Who was hot back in the day?
Me.
Especially if they if they remake Top Gun like they're saying.
Oh no.
Kelly McGillis.
Oh, she did.
She won't be in there again.
She
didn't.
Right? Oh, yeah, she's going to be in there, but like as someone's mom, she's not going to be the hot one.
I watched this show, Escaping Dannemora.
What?
It's on Netflix. It's called Escape at Dannemora.
Okay.
I think is the Dannemora. Escape at Dannemora, and it's got. So it's a good show. It's a true story, or based on a true story about these two inmates that escape from prison. And it's got Patricia Arquette in it. Now, back in the day,
she had a little something. She had a little fastball.
Had a little bit of a fastball.
Wait, Patricia Arquette is married to, or was married to, some other comedian or movie star that had that last name Arquette? Or am I?
No,
confused?
David Arquette. I think they're brothers and sister.
And
but I think you're right. I think she was married to someone famous. Oh no, she's a whopper now.
That's her now.
Yeah.
It's like, nuts. She doesn't look even... I didn't even recognize it was her until third episode. I saw the credit. Well, and I was like, oh, damn. Like, she really... And that's the original lady. So that's the lady that our character is based on.
Typecasting the character.
Yeah.
But wasn't she, when you were talking about when she was back, she had a little fastball back in the day, wasn't she with Madonna?
She was with Madonna?
In a movie. She played in a movie with Madonna. Isn't that right?
Was that...
Not Who's That Girl?
According to the Googles, yes. Desperately Seeking
that,
Susan.
Right there, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was her, right? That's when she still had her fastball.
I think so.
Correct. It is.
Okay.
What Rosanna thought. Arquette and Madonna. Is Rosanna Arquette
a
different person?
No, not Rosanna. Yeah, Patricia Arquette.
Oh, Patricia Arquette. Okay, yeah. But they're all related, right? Rosanna, they Patricia, all, and David.
Yeah. Rosanna, yeah. Rosanna, Dana. Yeah, they're all related.
Okay.
Correct. All the Arquettes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, but I recommend that on Netflix if you need something to watch. Escape at Dannemora. Very good show.
I'll get right on that.
Okay.
No, you won't. Wrap up baseball.
Yep.
As Drubal Cabrera from the Mets, a one-year $3.5 million deal with the Rangers. He's going to play third base.
Okay.
I think it's a bargain deal.
Not
but
bad.
I think that's what the Rangers are, a bargain
basement
team.
Never going to replace Adrian Beltre.
Nope.
But
not even close.
Not bad.
Disappointment for me. Because Miller Park was named Miller Park, just like they're named the Brewers in Milwaukee, because Miller is a staple, right?
Right.
Well, the contract with Miller Coors, who now are in partnership with the brewery, decided to bow out of the naming rights continuation discussion, and American Family Insurance is going to be the naming rights partner for the ballpark starting in 2021. They thankfully are not going to call it American Family Insurance Ballpark, but I don't know what they're going to call
it.
Yeah,
they cannot call it that.
AFI?
No. AFAM, baby.
Yeah, right?
Welcome to the AFAM.
AFAM Park. That's going to be weird.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Coverage Park?
No.
I don't know. That's kind of strange.
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know. I don't know what you can come up with for a good name.
How about Scam Park? Because insurance is a scam. I don't know.
Now, I will tell you the one caveat that I hope they do. If you're not aware of this, the M that they've used forever for the Brewers
Miller,
is the Miller
M. And it's even
M.
got the wheat, right?
With the barley.
Or barley.
Yeah. Brewer. But I hope they just go back to the MB logo, which is the greatest logo in sports, and get rid of that M
the
thing.
The
glove M thing. I love it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And the Stros, we said a week or two ago, Caesars Palace came out with their win-loss total for the Stros at 97.5.
Yep.
Now ML
is it 90? Not to be picky, but was it 97.5 or was it 96.5?
So the first one was initially 97.5. This one that just came out, and I don't.
Barrett Sally released it from Bet Online. Yep.
AG has him at 96.5.
Either way, let's just call it. Let's split it down the middle at 97.
Sure.
Got to go over or
under.
You
can't. You can't. It has to have the half.
Well, one was. It doesn't have to.
Because that way it can never be a push.
True.
But when I'm about to tell, I'm about to set my own rules, Nick.
Okay. Okay.
Damn it. Just give me a second. Okay. You've got 97.5 on one, 96.5 on the other. If you split the difference and say you can't choose 97, are they either winning 98 or 96? Are you taking the over or the under from 97?
I'm taking 98.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm going under.
Here's from an Astros fan perspective, regardless of which release we're looking at for predictions, the good news is in both polls, they have more wins than anybody else.
Nah.
And they are in both polls, they're a game above the Red Sox and then the Yankees and everybody else. So everybody sees something regardless of how free agency finishes up, because everybody's panicking about who's still out there and unsigned and who's going and who's staying and Keuchel and everybody at Marwin. But the fact of the matter is, everybody that's picking what's going to happen next year has the Astros on top, which is great.
I agree. Why are you picking 98? Why do you think it's over 97 wins?
Because they had that rotation for one more year, and they've improved their lineup. Because Michael Brantley improves that lineup, and he's a really good add for a team that, when healthy, I'm assuming Correa is going to be healthy. You get Altuve healthy again, which is so guaranteed 200 hits and all the things he brings to the table.
Got a legit closer for the whole year.
Got a legit closer and a great bullpen, because obviously you got a closer, but what you found out more than that was you rebuilt your bullpen. You got some guys that really helped rebuild your bullpen. You got them signed. So I just think overall, I see it a really strong year coming back, because they've solidified some of the things they needed to solidify.
So McCullers?
I'm still
gone.
Again, but Keuchel? I like.
Gone.
Assuming so you're down, he's gone.
He's gone. You're down 2/5 of your rotation from last year.
But you have a guy you didn't expect to have in Josh James.
Okay.
You have...
Who was there for part of the year?
He was, but he showed you something. Look, we were talking at the start of the year. One would have brought his name up in any discussions.
No, but is Josh James better than Lance McCullers? Are you a better rotation with him versus
McCullers?
If he can finish
the year, he is. Because, look, I'm tired of McCullers being dominant in April, May, and June, and then ended up getting an injury that hurts you.
Okay. I'm going under for that reason. Their rotation isn't as strong. And don't sleep on the fact that division with Oakland playing better. And I know Seattle's in a sell-off, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But Anaheim is going to be a lot better. I really think so. They're making some moves. So I think it might be a three-horse race. And you never know with the Rangers. It just depends on who shows up for the Rangers. I think they've got some talent on that ball club. Not great, but they could be competitive, and they always play the Astros hard. You might pick up more losses than you anticipate when you play that team. So
you're
I think
going
the division's
under.
Going. Yeah, I'm going to say under, though, under 97.
I'm going to say over at 98. Nick, what are you saying?
You're taking the over?
I'm going to say under.
Under?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I mean, I can't give you another reason why that they would. Because I feel like when the Cubs won the World Series, I think they had similar numbers the following year in terms of what they're over
being
and under.
Down, yeah. Yeah, that's totally true. Speaking of being down and out, I don't want you to be that way when you go out and maybe tie on a few drinks one night. So I want you to check out a product called Cheers. I've been telling you about Cheers for a while. It was called Thrive Plus. In a new year. And new name for Thrive Plus, and it is Cheers. That is the new name. And Cheers is a supplement designed to reduce the negative effects of alcohol and help you, me, and pretty much what most of Americans who drink. It's designed to help us feel better the next day. And I can tell you it works. I mean, after the listener party, when I'm on the road and I'm hanging out and I'm drinking all night with my comedy buddies, I take my Cheers, and the next day I don't feel bad. I feel like I didn't do anything last night, and that's the beauty of it. And don't take my word for it. You've heard it on Shark Tank. You know that they have PhDs on staff. You know they've got Ivy League scientists who help develop this product. So you know it works, and this is the way it works. It basically helps your liver processed alcohol and the negative and toxic byproducts that occur from the consumption of alcohol. You take three capsules after your last drink or before you go to bed. You wake up feeling better the next day. And if you don't feel 50% better the next day, they will give you your money back. That's right. If you don't feel 50% better, you get your money back. To order it, go to cheershealth.com. That's cheershealth.com. Order by 4 p.m. And since they're in Houston, you'll have it on your doorstep tomorrow. That's right, tomorrow. Order before 4 p.m., get it the next day, you're ready to go for the weekend. Look, guys, I don't drink without Cheers, and neither should you.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oasis. Greatest band in the history of bands.
Oasis. Taste the freedom.
Oasis.
What is that from?
You remember that? I can taste the freedom. You had him on either Monday Movie Moments, or you were just messing with him and you had him on for a segment.
And he said that.
And you said something he liked and he was like, yeah, I can taste the freedom.
Such an idiot. I love him.
Yeah.
Oh, what a dude.
It's been a minute.
I knew I was gonna get his vote just because I had this song on the list.
Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes, he swayed my vote this week only.
Did he vote?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. And I was gonna say, if you're gonna quit, Nick, or you're throwing in the white flag, if your bots vote, you still win.
Well, I haven't done the Twitter poll for how many weeks now?
Well, we kind of
because I don't want to hear you two complain about me winning each and every week.
Bitch.
But you know what's so funny is that sometimes I would win the poll, like the Twitter poll, and then all the responses say Barry won or Joel won. But on the Twitter poll, it says I won. You know what I mean? They would respond to the tweet, but they wouldn't
vote. That's evidence. That's not funny. That's evidence to the fact that you and your bots have a way of...
Maury hooked me up.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Rockets did some work on you in the offseason. They fixed that really well. Hey, before we get to anything else, we always like giving back to you. We're going to give away two more pairs of tickets right now. We got this boxing event at Toyota Center this Saturday. Big time boxing comes to Houston, Texas. This is fantastic, man. Jaime Munguia is going to be defending his world title against Japan's Takashi Inoue. And you get a chance to see it live. And if you don't win these tickets, it's Saturday night. It's the Toyota Center. Tickets start as low as $25. All you got to do is go to toyotacenter.com and you can get yours. But hey, we're gonna give away two right now. Caller 15, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You win two tickets to the box.
I gotta give some props to Jermaine Every on his tweet.
Mm-hmm.
He said they could nickname that ballpark in Milwaukee the Big Deductible. God, that is good.
Yeah, Nick liked that one too.
It was pretty funny. They obviously would never name it that, but I think it's hilarious.
That is so funny, the Big Deductible. You could hear that on SportsCenter.
But you think about it.
Wow, good job,
Minute Jermaine. Maid is the big juice box.
They call it the juice box.
So, yeah, the deductible might catch on.
I like that.
Even if it's not name.
Wasn't Levi Stadium known as like, what they call it?
Just Pants?
No. They called it something. It had to do with that.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, they called it. It had something to do with clothes and fashion, obviously.
They called the AT&T, wasn't it the big cell phone?
No.
They used to kid around about it.
Well, did they?
It started because Berman had a nickname for every stadium.
Of course.
Tampa Bay Stadium was the Big Sombrero.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So, and obviously Jerry World has stuck in Dallas, and that's an AT&T-er.
Yeah, I was trying to find what the Levi's was because it was pretty good.
That's what I'm looking. All I know is that they bought naming rights in 2013. No. I'm trying to find the old name.
Yeah, it was called something like...
Candlestick Park?
No,
oh, that was
no,
the
no.
original.
That was the original. Like, yeah. They would call it Levi Stadium. It would be called something else. But somebody said Field of Jeans.
That's pretty good, man.
That's very funny.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. A little bit of news on football today.
Yep.
Larry Fitzgerald deciding to come back for one more year. I was thinking about this. What's a bigger deal? To say you played your whole career with the Cardinals, or to say I want to win one because he's had he's a Hall of Famer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can we all agree he's going to be in when he's
no doubt Hall of Famer.
So give the guy a chance to win a ring.
So in other words, let him go somewhere.
Let him go somewhere else. Trade him somewhere else. Get something like you were saying. If you're rebuilding, get him someone young in return or draft pick or something. But let him go win one or try.
I mean, if that's what he wants to do, yeah. Maybe he should hop on the Patriots bandwagon. I don't know.
He doesn't strike me as a guy, though, he doesn't strike me as that kind of guy. Like, he strikes me as I mean, the way you hear nothing but great things about Larry Fitzgerald.
About
as a person, on the field, off the field. And he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would be like, well, I'm going to leave and go get a ring. Like, he's like, you know what? I've been loyal to this organization. This organization has been loyal to me. I love the fans. I love the city. And I'm just going to play here until I decide not to play
anymore. Next year, in my last year.
And they are going to suck.
But that's what I'm saying. So you love all those things, and those things don't go away. But I don't think anybody would find shame in his game to say, hey, I want to go win one. Because we saw McGrady try and do it with the Spurs. We know how important it is when Karl Malone and Peyton went to the Lakers. You know that certain guys, the Patriots, Nick, you mentioned, a lot of guys go there trying to get a ring and chase a ring. So you think about it and go, you know what? I'm not mad at him if that's possible. If he's voiced it, it wouldn't be like Akeem and the ugly way he went to Toronto.
Right.
This would be a good on your part, good on mine. I want to win a ring. You guys are going to accommodate that. I'm still going in the Hall of Fame as a Cardinal.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, but there's something to be said, though, because you think about Dream, uh-huh. right? And it stung a little. And it's still brought up.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's still a mark on his resume that he did that or they did that, however
I mean, people forgive it, but they never forget it. I mean, everybody loves Dream, and that's not going to change. But the fact that he did leave for a little bit is,
I'm with you, man, but like I said, I'm with you. Everybody said he's a class act. I'd love to see him finish at least chasing a ring.
No doubt. Hey, listen, if Fitzgerald does come back, Cardinals don't have a great chance of winning a Super Bowl, but if you wanted to get some action on that because you think maybe that is going to help them, you know, you got Kingsbury, you got Christian Kirk might be a big part of that offense. If you wanted to bet on those Cardinals winning the Super Bowl, good luck with that, but you could do it at MyBookie because remember, guys, MyBookie, they are the online destination to get action on any game and just about any kind of bet you want, whether it's college football, pro football, Canadian football, football. It doesn't matter. They can do it all, even horse racing if you wanted to do that as well. And who you're betting on is as important as who you're betting with. That's why I want you to do it with MyBookie because they're safe. They're reliable. They've been around forever, it seems like. It's why I recommend them. It's why Fred recommends them. You need to do your bidding and betting with MyBookie. And here's what's really important, man. When you win, when you go out and you make these bets and you win, they pay you. That's super important. And they've got in-game live betting. They've got player perks for you to take advantage of. Super easy to sign up. Just go to mybookie.ag to get started. Use promo code radio. You'll save 50, or not save, but you'll get a 50% match on your first deposit. Promo code radio, 50% match on your first deposit. You put in 500, they'll match it with 250. You can't beat it, guys. It's mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.